NPR.
Certainly for the next few weeks, probably for at least the next few months, and possibly for even longer than that, things are going to be tough as massive parts of the global economy shut down to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus.
Here in New York, a city where lights and energy and crowds are normally impossible to escape, the streets feel empty and desolate as everybody stays inside to avoid crowds. The number of infections and deaths is climbing fast, and so many people are losing jobs that the website of New York State's unemployment system crashed this week.
But even though it can feel like this bizarre, depressing reality is going to last forever, we also know in the back of our heads that it won't. It can't. Nothing lasts forever. Someday, this really will be over, and we really will start returning to normal. So what will that look like? I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, we offer a glimpse into the experience of another huge global important city, where everything started shutting down more than 6 weeks ago. And back then, a lot of people who lived in that city might have felt the way we feel now in New York, or the way people feel in cities and towns across the U.S.
The city we're talking about is Beijing, China. Because after a month and a half on lockdown, life in Beijing is slowly, gently, kinda sorta maybe, starting to return to normal.
Support for NPR and the following message come from TransferWise, the smart new way to send and receive money internationally. Join over 6 million customers in 70 countries who are already saving, and try it for free at transferwise.com/NPR or download the app.
Support for this podcast comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Dan Wong lives in Beijing, the Chinese capital. He's been a guest on The Indicator before, and he works for GavCal Dragonomics, which does economic research. And Dan specifically researches technology trends in China and how those trends affect the Chinese economy.
I live in Beijing's Embassy District, which is also a highly commercial area. It has the city's largest shopping mall in the city, a place called Taikoo Li, where there's an Apple store, there's all these sorts of luxury brands, and it's the most highly trafficked pedestrian area in the city.
Beijing has a population of more than 20 million people, and there is so much industrial activity in and around the city that the air is normally full of smog from the factories, but not anymore. Dan says you can actually see the effects of China's economic shutdown just by looking up.
The number of blue sky days in Beijing has been pretty high for the last several weeks.
The coronavirus outbreak originated in another part of China, in the Hubei province. The first known death from the virus was on January 11th. And so the Chinese government had to start putting in place measures to slow the spread of the virus before other parts of the world did.
One day in early February, Dan noticed some government workers stationed outside his Beijing apartment complex. He thinks they were from the municipal government.
Someone set up a tent with a table and a pen and paper and started taking down everyone's temperature as they came in and out of the apartments.
These government workers checked Dan's temperature using a contactless thermometer, just by holding it about an inch away from his wrist. And there are temperature checks like this taking place all over the city. Before Dan can enter his office building, go into stores, go into restaurants, he has to get his temperature checked.
When I'm out, I would have my temperature checked around four or five times when I'm just walking around.
Dan says a lot of his friends have hardly left their apartments at all. Travelers arriving to China from abroad now have to go into quarantine, either at home or in a government facility, for 2 weeks when they arrive. China has also enforced severe restrictions on travel within the country. China can do all of this, Dan says, because it already has a big security and surveillance system in place, and people are kind of used to it.
But then there are other measures taken in Beijing during the crackdown that now sound familiar to people who live in, say, New York. Movie theaters are closed in Beijing. Museums, temples, a lot of the famous landmarks, too.
So these include things like the Forbidden City. This is now actually forbidden to go inside anymore.
Dan says he guesses about half the restaurants that he likes are totally closed, and the others are enforcing strict regulations. In some of them, you can't sit face to face. You have to sit side by side while you eat.
So that's what life has been like. People staying home, places closed, fever checks everywhere. But here's the thing. China actually has managed to slow the spread of the virus. And last week, as the weather got nicer, Dan noticed that life for the first time was gently returning to Beijing, starting with the pedestrian area in his neighborhood.
And I would say that this is the first time in about 6 weeks or nearly 2 months or so that this place has been fairly packed, that there are a lot of people walking around. You know, one or two of the shops that I used to go frequently that have been closed for the last several weeks are now opening again. I'm definitely seeing, as the weather warms, more people going out into the parks. I went on a big hike yesterday. That was the first time I saw traffic in the city.
Dan says many of his friends are still self-quarantining in their apartments. But for him, even seeing some of the cars back on the road again, more people walking around, has been a really nice change.
It's definitely a big relief to see the city getting back to normal. And I think people are extra glad to be outside.
Dan says these tiny steps back in the direction of normal life have been taken really slowly, not all at once. And they've been taken even as a lot of the restrictions on daily life stay in place. And people are gaining confidence that the virus outbreak is finally under some sort of control.
Also, the crisis has left Dan with something he didn't expect. A new appreciation for the importance of the physical world, the material world, versus the high-tech online world. For example, a lot of people thought that the Chinese tech companies, like Alibaba, which is kind of like the Chinese Amazon, might even benefit if people stayed home during the crisis, because then these companies would deliver stuff to them.
And then Alibaba said that we are having a lot of trouble actually delivering our goods because our couriers are just not in the cities, or they're having trouble navigating between provinces or getting into different compounds. And furthermore, a lot of goods cannot be produced because a lot of work isn't making it to the factories, or people can't cross. You know, the supply chains are somewhat broken down because goods can't cross different cities or different provinces.
And now, there are reports that the roads are opening and travel inside the country is getting a bit easier. But still, this loosening up won't happen overnight. Dan says, for example, that the trainer at his gym is still stuck three provinces away, even though he thought he'd be back in Beijing weeks ago. So all this could take a while. Meanwhile, some businesses could struggle to get their workers back, and some goods might still be tough to find.
And it's a reminder that some parts of life are going to take longer than others in returning to normal. There's a chance that countries like the U.S., which are only now starting to deal with all these new restrictions, will go down the same path.
The U.S., at least, also just has a lot of work to do to get enough people tested for the virus. But overall, Dan says, based on what he's seen in Beijing, the hopeful thing to him is that following the advice of the health experts, practice social distancing, work from home if you can, monitor yourself for symptoms, does seem to work. So who knows how long this period of economic shutdown and isolation is going to last. Dan's experience in Beijing, though, makes him confident that it won't be forever.
Wash our hands, avoid crowds, and this will probably get better.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Darius Rafieyan. It was fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. Our editor is Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.